Bless our Lord, the Lord who forgiveth all our sins. His mercy endureth forever. If we say that we have no sin, we deceive ourselves, and the truth is not in us. But if we confess our sins, God is faithful and just to forgive our sins and cleanse us from all unrighteousness. Let us humbly confess our sins unto Almighty God. Most merciful God, we confess that we have sinned against thee in thought, word, and deed by what we have done and by what we have left undone. We have not loved thee with our whole heart. We have not loved our neighbors as ourselves. We are truly sorry and we humbly repent. For the sake of thy Son, Jesus Christ, have mercy on us and forgive us, that we may delight in thy will and walk in thy ways to the glory of thy name. Amen. Almighty and merciful God, Lord, grant you absolution and remission of all your sins, true repentance, amendment of life, and the grace and consolation of his Holy Spirit. Amen. Lord, have mercy upon us.
Christ, have mercy upon us.
Lord, have mercy upon us. The Lord be with you.
And with thy spirit.
Let us pray. Give us grace, O Lord, to answer readily the call of our Savior Jesus Christ and proclaim to all people the good news of his salvation, that we and all the whole world may perceive the glory of his marvelous works, who liveth and reigneth with thee and the Holy Spirit, one God, forever and ever.
Amen.
Amen.
A reading from the book of Exodus. Then God spoke all these words: I am the Lord your God, who brought you out of the land of Egypt, out of the house of slavery. You shall have no other gods before me. You shall not make for yourself an idol, whether in the form of anything that is in heaven above, or that is on the earth beneath, or that is in the water under the earth. You shall not bow down to them or worship them, for I, the Lord your God, am a jealous God, punishing children for the iniquity of parents to the third and fourth generation of those who reject me, but showing steadfast love to the thousandth generation of those who love me and keep my commandments. You shall not make wrongful use of the name of the Lord your God, or the Lord will not acquit anyone who misuses his name. Remember the Sabbath day and keep it holy. For 6 days you shall labor and do all your work, but the seventh day is the Sabbath to the Lord your God. You shall not do any work, you, your son or your daughter, your male or female slave, your livestock, or the alien resident in your towns. For in 6 days the Lord made heaven and earth, the sea and all that is in them, but rested the seventh day. Therefore the Lord blessed the Sabbath day and consecrated it. Honor your father and your mother, so that your days may be long in the land that the Lord your God is giving you. You shall not murder. You shall not commit adultery. You shall not steal. You shall not bear false witness against your neighbor. You shall not covet your neighbor's house. You shall not covet your neighbor's wife, or male or female slave, or ox or donkey, or anything that belongs to your neighbor. The word of the Lord.
Thanks be to God.
Thanks be to God.
Jim is having some difficulties on his computer, so I'm going to move forward. Psalm 19. Let us read together. The heavens declare the glory of God, and the firmament shows his handiwork. One day tells its tales to another, and one night imparts knowledge to another. Although they have no words or language, and their voices are not heard, their sound out unto the lands, and their message to the ends of the world. In the deep has he set a pavilion for the sun. It comes forth like a bridegroom out of his chamber. It rejoices like a champion to run its course. It goes forth from the uttermost edge of the heavens and runs about to the end of it again. Nothing is hidden from its burning heat. The law of the Lord is perfect and revives the soul. The testimony of the Lord is sure and gives wisdom to the innocent. The statutes of the Lord are just and rejoice the heart. The commandment of the Lord is clear and gives light to the eyes. The fear of the Lord is clean and endures forever. The judgments of the Lord are true and righteous altogether. More to be desired are they than gold, more than much fine gold, sweeter far than honey in the comb. By them also is your servant enlightened, and in keeping them there is great reward. Who can tell how often he offends? Cleanse me from your secret faults. Above all, keep your servant from presumptuous sins. Let them not get dominion over me. Then shall I be whole and sound and innocent of a great offense. Let the words of my mouth and the meditation of my heart be acceptable to you in your sight, O Lord, my strength and my redeemer. A reading from the first letter of Paul to the Corinthians. The message about the cross is foolishness to those who are perishing, but to us who are being saved, it is the power of God. For it is written, I will destroy the wisdom of the wise, and the discernment of the discerning I will thwart. Where is the one who is wise? Where is the scribe? Where is the debater of this age? Has not God made foolish the wisdom of the world? For since in the wisdom of God, the world did not know God through wisdom, God decided through the foolishness of our proclamation to save those who believe. For Jews demand signs and Greeks desire wisdom, but we proclaim Christ crucified, a stumbling block to Jews and foolishness to Gentiles. But to those who are the called, both Jews and Greeks, Christ, the power of God and the wisdom of God. For God's foolishness is wiser than human wisdom, and God's weakness is stronger than human strength. The word of the Lord.
Thanks be to God.
Holy Gospel of our Lord Jesus Christ, according to St. John. Glory be to thee, O Lord. The Passover of the Jews was near, and Jesus went up to Jerusalem. In the temple, he found people selling cattle, sheep, and doves, and the money changers seated at their tables. making a whip of cords, he drove them all out of the temple, both the sheep and the cattle. He also poured out the coins of the money changers and overturned their tables. He told those who were selling the doves, "Take these things out of here. Stop making my father's house a marketplace." His disciples remembered that it was written, "Zeal for your house will consume me." The Jews then said to him, "What sign can you show us for doing this?" Jesus answered them, "Destroy this temple, and in 3 days I will raise it up." The Jews then said, "This temple has been under construction for 46 years, and you will raise it up in 3 days?" But he was speaking of the temple of his body. After he was raised from the dead, his disciples remembered that he had said this, and they believed the scripture and the word that Jesus had spoken. The Gospel of the Lord.
Praise be to thee, O Christ. We will continue with, oh, I'm sorry. Michael's
okay.
Turn.
That's okay. You might decide that would have been a better course of action to take. We'll see. Some of you have heard this story before. Frank Griswold was my bishop in Chicago for most of my time as a priest, physically resident in that diocese. The year I went to St. Paul's Church in San Miguel de Allende, in the middle of Mexico, he went to New York to become presiding bishop of the Episcopal Church, which is to say, we knew each other, not close friends, but we knew each other as bishop and priest. And he was good at knowing his clergy. The next time I saw Bishop Griswold was the year he retired. He and his wife, Phoebe, went to San Miguel for their first post-retirement vacation. A retired priest from California living in San Miguel heard of Griswold's presence there and arranged a luncheon with several of his, the priest's, friends of a certain social standing, and Sherry and me, because I was the rector of St. Paul's. One of the women there, whom I had seen only rarely in church, asked, "Why don't we say the Ten Commandments in church anymore? I remember when we used to recite it every Sunday." Another indicator of the time when she was last really active in the church. Frank, as he was at that table post-retirement, thought for a couple of ticks and then said, "I think Bishop Pike got it right when he suggested that we sing the Ten Commandments, like the Gloria or the Creed in a sung Eucharist." It was almost an aside, certainly a comment crafted on the fly, but it has stayed with me these 15 years. One reason it has endured in my memory is that the Ten Commandments in whole or part come up in the readings once each year, as today. Another is that when we worship according to rite one in Lent, we have them put before us in the prayer book. And we might recite them one of the next couple of Sundays. But the main reason the comment has stuck with me is the implication, at least in my mind, of the importance of getting the music, the lyrical spiritual sense, as well as the words, the black and white legalistic sense of the Decalogue. Anyone who's ever learned a foreign language and actually used it in day-to-day dealings with native speakers knows that the music of the language is as crucial to being understood as the letter perfect written or spoken language itself. I've heard a couple of comedians do bits about someone making or bluffing their way through a situation in a foreign country using only a few typical sounds and proper inflection, the music, with the right attitude and got what they wanted or got out of what they didn't want to be in. Music in this sense can go a long way toward making oneself understood. Today's hymns serve as examples, speaking as they do of God's creative power and love and our responsibility to love God and to love each other. And each of them closes with some promise of God and a call to know and love God, to follow God's path of love. And as we read the psalm together, it struck me how much it is that way also. It's definitely the music of the commandments, that they are all aimed at enhancing our relationship with God and each other. Well, the music of today's other reading themselves is the movement from the flinty, uncompromising language of the Ten Commandments, Exodus version this time, to the flinty, uncompromising actions and judgments by Jesus as he runs the moneylenders out of the temple. Well, doesn't sound like much movement at all, you might be thinking. Oh, but it is, considering the music, the spirit of the thing. Jesus' actions in this well-known scene are aimed precisely at those who would bend the Ten Commandments and the other 603 commandments in the Torah into a money-making enterprise. This morning, maybe for the first time ever, I scanned the 613 mitzvot and was impressed by the amount of detail and variety in both positive and negative commandments. That is the do this and the don't do this commandments. Some are tied to specific historical events and people. Number 598, blot out the memory of Amalek. And 599, curiously, remember what Amalek did to the Jewish people. Others are universal. Numbers 214 and 215, to keep promises and vows to God and not to break oaths or vows. The problem Jesus was animatedly addressing was the practice of those motivated by greed to turn the commandments about sacrifices and offerings into cash cows, no pun intended, stretching the admonitions against using exorbitant prices to provide sacrificial animals. In other words, this was about adhering to the strict letter of the law while ignoring what I've been calling the music or the essential intention, which Jesus made known was his mission on various occasions. Two of the most memorable were his responding to questions about which commandments were most important and whether he was trying to overturn all the traditions and laws of the Hebrews. To the first, he said, all the laws. And he didn't just mean the 10 that we have at the beginning of this Rite One liturgy, but all 613. All the law is summed up in the commandments to love God and love your neighbor as yourself. To the second question about, are you just throwing everything out? He said, I have come not to abolish the law, but to fulfill it. And that's what we see him doing in today's gospel reading, reminding the moneylenders and any witnesses, including us, that the law is about not just this jot and tittle or that, but about the aim of all of the law taken together is how to love God by showing that in our lives and loving each other, even those who are unlovable. Fulfilling the law, the epitome of that is Jesus' self-sacrifice on the cross. And then calling us, well, all of his disciples, including us, to fulfill the essence of the law by loving God with all of our being and loving our neighbors as ourselves. In the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit. Now, amen. Carol.
We'll continue now with the Nicene Creed. We believe
in one God,
the Father, the Almighty, maker of heaven and earth, of all that is seen and unseen. We believe in one Lord Jesus Christ, the only Son of God, eternally begotten of the Father, God from God, light from light, true God from true God, begotten, not made, of one being with the Father. Through him all things are made. For us and for our salvation, he came down from heaven by the power of the Holy Spirit. He became incarnate from the Virgin Mary and was made man. For our sake, he was crucified under Pontius Pilate. He suffered death and was buried. On the third day, he rose again in accordance with the scriptures. He ascended into heaven and is seated at the right hand of the Father. He will come again in glory to judge the living and the dead, and his kingdom will have no end. We believe in the Holy Spirit, the Lord, the giver of life, who proceeds from the Father and the Son. With the Father and the Son, he is worshiped and glorified. He has spoken through the prophets. We believe in one holy Catholic and apostolic church. We acknowledge one baptism for the forgiveness of sins. We look for the resurrection of the dead and the life of the world to come. Amen. Prayers for the people. Let us pray for the whole state of the Christ Church and the world. Almighty and ever-living God, who in thy holy word hast taught us to make prayers and supplications and to give thanks for all men, receive these our prayers which we offer unto thy divine majesty, beseeching thee to inspire continually the universal church with the spirit of truth, unity, and concord, and grant that all those who do confess thy holy name may agree in the truth of thy holy word and live in unity and godly love. Lord, in thy mercy,
hear our prayer.
Give grace, O heavenly Father, to all bishops and other ministers, especially Michael, our presiding bishop, Andy, Jeff, Hector, and Kay, and our bishops, Michael, our priest, and Jeannie, our missionary, that they may both, by their life and doctrine, set forth thy true and lively word, and rightly and duly administer thy holy sacraments. Lord, in thy mercy,
hear our prayer.
And to all thy people, give thy heavenly grace, and especially to this congregation here present, that with meek heart and due reverence, they may hear and receive thy holy word, truly serving thee in holiness and righteousness all the days of their life. Lord, in thy mercy,
hear our prayer.
We beseech thee also so to rule the hearts of those who bear the authority of government in this and every land, especially Joseph, our president, that they may be led to wise decisions and right actions for the welfare and peace of the world. Lord, in thy mercy,
hear our prayer.
Open, O Lord, the eyes of all people who behold thy gracious hand in all thy works, that rejoicing in thy whole creation, they may honor thee with their substance and be faithful stewards of thy bounty. Lord, in thy mercy,
hear our prayer.
And we most humbly beseech thee of thy goodness, O Lord, to comfort and succor all those in this transitory life who are in trouble, sorrow, need, sickness, or any other adversity, especially John, Nancy, Morgan, David, Judy, Bob, Karen, Leslie, Cheryl, Bobby, Marianne, Winifred, Alan, James, Victoria, Christian, Patrick, Dale, Donna, June, Molly, George, Joe, Cecile, Kenyon, Sarah, Lynn, Carol, Tyler, Merle, Charisse, Miranda, Caitlin, Diane, Jill, Melissa, Anne, Jenny, Lindsay, Ellie, Tom, Shelley, Carol, Gail, Rashonda, Carolyn, Virginia, Dallas, Charles, Patty, Alice, Glenda, Leah, Greg, Jackie, Donald, RG, Robin, Brooks, Ed, the Degatere family, William, the Bailey family, Sid and his family, Betty, Bonnie and Ed, Sherry, Norman, Joe, and the women of the Hutto facility. And with these thy servants who serve in the military, Brian, Eric, James, Trevor, Kevin, Chris, Jared, Brian, Jonathan, and all in harm's way. Lord, in your mercy,
hear our prayer.
And with all who travel this week, and with all who mourn the deaths of their loved ones, we also bless thy holy name for all thy servants departed this life in thy faith and fear, especially Monty Schultz, Colleen Collier, Cynthia Pierce, and all who have died from the coronavirus, beseeching thee to grant them continual growth in thy love and service, and to grant us grace so to follow the good examples of the Blessed Virgin Mary and of all thy saints, that with them we may be partakers of thy heavenly kingdom. Lord, in thy mercy,
hear our prayer.
We pray in thanksgiving, especially with Georgie Nolan, Carol Winter, and Grady Gonzalez, who celebrate their birthdays this week.
And at this time, I invite your prayers, aloud or silently. We pray also for Jerry and his continuing recovery, for Barbara, for Joe, among those in the military, for John Wesley, and other thanksgiving or petitions that you may wish to offer now silently or unmuting yourselves aloud.
Kathy, for healing.
Ione, Jasmine, Russ,
grant these our prayers, O Father, for Jesus Christ's sake, our only mediator and advocate.
Amen.
And now, as our Savior Christ hath taught us, we are bold to say, Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom and the power and the glory forever and ever. Amen. Now, if you'll all unmute yourselves, the peace of the Lord be always with you.
And with thy spirit.
And also with you and thy spirits also. Peace. Peace all
around. Peace be with you.
Wonderful.
Peace. Peace to everyone.
Peace and apologies to Rachel and RG. And to Jim and Carol, because your names aren't in the bulletin, but Rachel and RG's got put on the spot. All right. This is the solemn prayer, which we have in place of a blessing for the next few Sundays. And then after that, Otis will play a hymn we may be familiar to with a different tune. Or maybe this is a hymn we're learning with this tune. And then we'll be in coffee hour. Here we go. Look mercifully on this, your family, Almighty God, that by your great goodness, they may be governed and preserved evermore through Christ our Lord.
Amen. Amen.
Unmute it all. I'm waiting to see unmutes. There we go. A few anyway. Let us bless the Lord.
Thanks be to God.
Thanks be to God. And now.